Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here to talk to so many aspiring computer scientists about what I think is one of the important problems that we're going to be facing over the next few years, which is we now have all kinds of ways for people to collect data about individual people and store it on the internet and search it and derive other kinds of information from it. And at the moment, for the most part, these things are done without much regulation. There aren't really very, in most cases, very many rules about what is okay to do and what's not. And I think there's an increasing amount of concern about this. And what this talk is about is to describe what some of the issues and to discuss some technical mechanisms that may be useful in bringing a little bit more order to this currently very disorderly space. So, to begin with, why is this a new problem? What's new about online data? There are two main things. One is that it's extremely widespread, both in time and in space. Once data gets into the system, it stays there, it's easy to copy it around, and it's easy to make it visible to anyone through a search, for example. The other thing is that all the information is accessible in a way that it didn't used to be. It's easy to find it by searching, and it's easy to connect disparate pieces of data by linking. This means that many of the things that we used to rely on to provide us with privacy don't work anymore. The primary tool for privacy in the past was obscurity. In principle, you could find out a lot of things about someone, but in fact, it was so hard that unless you're willing to spend a lot of money, you couldn't actually do it in practice. That's much less true today. A second thing that I think is not so widely appreciated is that data about people in the physical world is going to be just as important as data that starts out digitally. So we're used to the idea that your emails or your web searches might be mined as data. We're less used to the idea that where your car went might be observed by cameras that are looking at the license plates and doing OCR and making a record of the form. This license plate was at this intersection of two streets at this particular time. But once you think about it, it's pretty obvious that this kind of thing is feasible. In fact, it's taking place on a large scale in most places in the world. And that kind of data can be extremely revealing. In general, people feel that information about where my car has been should not be widely accessible. The other background point that I want to make is that in order to control the use of personal data on the net, the technology and the regulation have to work together. The technology can support regulation, but there's not going to be any technology that can by itself guarantee that we get the results that we want. Regulation says what is allowed and what isn't allowed to people who are playing by the rules. Technology tries to guarantee that certain things are actually not technically possible. And for the most part, technology by itself can't solve these problems. So it's good to think a little bit about what principles need to underlie regulation. The basic purpose of it is to maintain a balance of power among individuals, companies, and governments. Today, with respect to online data, the balance is very much on the side of the organizations at the expense of the individuals. And also to serve the public good. There's personal privacy, but there's also the desire to have innovation, to do research, to do law enforcement, to do traffic control, and a whole range of other things. A second point to bear in mind is that many cases of legitimate and illegitimate ways to use data are already handled by existing law, which covers, for example, intellectual property, fraud, what records are public by default, and so on and so forth. A third principle is that you can't expect individuals to do a great deal of work to control the way in which their data is used. Global surveys of how people feel about this have revealed that people feel quite strongly that they should have some control over the way their data is used. Even when you discuss it with them and they realize that exercising that control is going to require some work on their part and probably they won't do it, they still feel that it's extremely important to have the possibility of exercising control. And another thing to bear in mind, which I'm not going to be talking about much here, but it's an important consideration, is that when you make rules that are enforced by the legal system, the legal system and regulatory systems move very slowly, and rules can often have unintended consequences. So when making the rules, it's important to try to make them in as general a way as possible and to think through what the unexpected consequences might be. Today, not too many people are actually worrying about this because of the fact that today, if I want to take advantage of online data, I can do that without having to worry very much about what the rules might be. But I'm absolutely convinced that more regulation is coming. People want personal control of their data, and they want to allow data handlers that they trust to access their data while preventing people that they don't trust from doing it. Regulators take very different views in different parts of the world, but increasingly, people are starting to take the attitude that control of data is a human right. This is something that you see very strongly in the European Union, and you are starting to see it in some of the states of the U.S. I don't know what the current views on these matters are in China, but it does seem quite clear that attitudes about this are changing fairly rapidly. Firms, to first approximation, they would prefer to be allowed to do whatever they want with the data that they have, but many of them also want consistent and accepted rules so that they can be trusted by their customers, and so that it's clear what they should do in order to comply with the regulation. This picture is a sketch of the different players in this game, which I've classified under three broad headings. There's government, there are individual people, and there are firms. And there's a wide variety of things that these different players care about. The one that I want to call out here is people want to feel that they're in control. And that, in my view, is going to be the primary purpose of regulation, is to serve that personal control. The other players, for the most part, would prefer to have as little regulation as possible so that they're free to do whatever they want with the data. But I think in the long run, that's not going to stick. So if we take it for granted that people do want to have personal control, here's an ideal way of achieving it. Not a practical way, but an idealized way. You keep all your data in a vault that you control. And if I want to have access to your data, I come to you and I bring you a query. I say, I'd like to know what you bought last Monday. If you like the query, then you give back the answer. And if you don't like the query, you tell me to go away. So you have complete possession of all the data, and you decide which queries you're willing to answer and which ones you're going to reject. This is not very practical for a lot of reasons. It's too expensive, it's too slow, it's not quite clear what the rules are about what I'm allowed to do with the answer that I get. And it also makes it impossible to aggregate large quantities of data for research or to achieve the public good. Just to take a very simple example, if you want to use data about where cars are going to do better traffic management, it's clearly not possible to do that within the framework of this story, because you'd have to consult all the individual drivers of all the cars and get all of them to agree to give you the information. So let's try for a slightly more abstract and more practical account of what personal control might mean. The idea is that you're empowered to control your data. You can find it, find out who has your data. You can limit the way in which it's used. You can ask the people who are currently holding the data to give it back. You can do this everywhere across the whole internet, or at least you can do it across all the holders of your data that are subject to the regulation. You can do it anytime, not just when it's collected. Today, the prevailing way of doing providing people with control over their data is called notice and consent. And what it means is, at the time the data is collected, the agent has to ask you whether it's okay to collect it. And all of you have doubtless many times clicked the OK box or checked the box that says, I accept the terms of service. This doesn't work very well because, first of all, your choice is between saying yes to whatever the terms of service are, which are written in a complicated legal way that you won't be able to understand, or not getting any service at all. And secondly, it doesn't give you any way to change your mind. And often you do change your mind about what you want done with your data. A quotation or a picture that seemed very funny when you're 16 might not be so wonderful to have on the net when you're 25 or 30. In addition, you want this to work consistently for all data handlers and devices. If you have to think differently about how data that's collected by traffic management, data that's collected by browsers, data that's collected by email systems are handled, it's going to be too complicated. And finally, you don't want a system like this to make privacy worse rather than making it better. So it's important that you be able to remain anonymous if you wish. So how could this possibly be achieved? There's a fairly simple idea, which I originally heard from a Microsoft executive named Craig Mundy, who's explained it in several articles and reports from organizations like the U.S. President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. And his idea is, whenever there's an item of personal data, it's tagged with so-called metadata, additional information, that allows you to find out what the policy is for handling that particular piece of data. And people who handle data who are playing by the rules have to consult that policy and follow it. The policy in general has to be pretty simple and pretty coarse-grained, otherwise it's going to be too complicated and people won't be able to understand what they're supposed to do. It has to have good defaults so that for people who are not paying close attention to what the policy is, that you get a result that's reasonably close to what they would expect. And the other important property you want to have is that there should not be any central database that collects all this policy information, because that would be creating a new, enormously powerful mechanism for violating people's privacy. Instead, there are going to be two kinds of players in this system. One of them is agents that you choose. Think of this as choosing an email provider or choosing an internet service provider or choosing to deal with a particular online store. There are two kinds of personal agents. There are two kinds of agents that you choose. One is what I call the personal agent, which is tightly under your control. You could keep it on your own computer, your own tablet, your own smartphone, or whatever. It's okay for it to be offline. The other agent that you choose is the so-called policy service, which is prepared to answer questions from handlers about what your policy is. That agent has to be online because it has to be able to answer questions from handlers at the time that they want to do something with the data. So you don't have such tight control over the policy service. So those are your agents. They're under your control. You get to choose who they are and how they behave. In addition to that, there are data handlers. So anyone who stores or processes your data and is following the rules is a data handler who has and is subject to regulation. And the primary obligation of the data handler is to obey your current policy for handling your data. In addition to that, you find that in practice, it's not the case that when I go on the net, I'm always the same. I always want to present the same face to the internet. Most obviously, people present different personas when they're working and when they're behaving out of work as individuals. And in many cases, people present more different personas than that. And I'm sure many of you probably have multiple email accounts and multiple accounts on social media sites reflecting the fact that you, at different times, you are presenting different personas to your internet public. So what does personal control mean? Let's just review what I said. You're empowered to control your data. You can find it. You can claim it back from handlers. You can limit its use. You can do this anytime, not just when the data is being collected. You can do it consistently everywhere on the net for all the different data handlers and all the different devices with a simple coarse-grained policy and anonymously if you wish. There's not any central database. Instead, there are agents under your control, agents that you choose, a personal agent for keeping track of your personas, and a policy service to answer queries from the handlers. And in addition to your agents, there are the data handlers. Those are the people that have your data, and they're the entities that are being regulated. So let's look at just briefly at a few scenarios where this might be put into practice. You change your address, and you want to know who has your contact information. You get a list of all the data handlers that have your contact information. Some of them, you say, oh yes, I want those people to continue to be able to get in touch with me, so you update them, and the others you erase. I'm not sure how that a store got my name and address, but I don't want them to have it anymore. A school needs to contact a parent in an emergency. So the school can use an application that has access to your location data, which can be extremely sensitive information. But the app only reveals to the school what phone number they should call to get in touch with you in the emergency. You find that you're getting too many online ads when you browse. You want to see fewer ads and more interesting ones. So you decide to disable the generic ad service, DoubleClick, but to allow Neiman Marcus to continue to keep track of what your interests are and serve you ads. A traffic camera records your license plate. The motor vehicle department records are going to identify you, but you can find out about the fact that information is in the DMV records. And perhaps, depending on what local rules are about these things, you can erase that information or arrange that it's only accessible to certain kinds of authorities. So how is this going to work? The basic notion is that the data handler tags your data with metadata, which includes a link to your current policy. And we'll talk in a little bit of detail now about how to mechanize this idea. The metadata comes along with the data. Your agent puts it on the data at the time that the data is created. It stays with your data when your data is copied. And if your data is used to compute some results, then it stays with the computed results as well. Unless the results have been aggregated so much that privacy is preserved, so you can't personally be re-identified from the result. So, for example, if you collect a lot of data about individual motions of cars, but you aggregate that into information of the form at 9 a.m. 700 cars per hour are passing this particular point, then that data has been aggregated so much that it's no longer necessary to preserve any individual control over an aggregate result like that. And finally, and very importantly, if data gets re-identified, then metadata tags have to be added back to it. So, for example, if someone takes a picture of a license plate, does OCR on it to turn it into a character string, and then looks it up in some database and finds out that it's my car, at that point, they have to tag it with link to my policy for that sort of data. So that's the tagging mechanism, and the data handlers have two obligations. One is to maintain the tags, and the other is, before using data, a handler has to check the policy and verify that it's legitimate for them to use the data in whatever way they're intending to use it. So that's the story about how this should work. You can think of it as a distributed implementation of the idea of the vault that I described earlier and that I said was completely impractical. Now let's think a little bit about what form this metadata is going to take. It has two parts. One is a so-called NID or numeric ID, which you can think of as a public key, something that allows the policy itself to be authenticated. But since it's just an encryption key, you can have as many of them as you want, and they are inherently anonymous. The second part of the metadata is a URL, a link to the policy service. And the handler's job is to follow the policy link and query the policy service to find out what the current policy is. Since the policy service is being queried by handlers whenever they use the data, in addition to answering the queries, the policy service can do another very important thing. It can remember which handlers have queried it, and therefore which handlers actually have my data. And that makes it possible for me to go to my policy service and say, who are all the people that have my data, so that I can find out where my data is. And the other component of this whole story is the policy itself, which is something that individuals have to express. How do I want my data handled? And the most important property that can have is it has to be quite simple, because otherwise it will be too complicated for individuals and for data handlers to understand the policy. And we'll talk a little bit more about how that can be achieved. So here's a picture that shows roughly how this idea can be put into practice. You have an agent which keeps track of your identity, which is expressed as this numeric identifier, this encryption key. And the agent tells the policy service what the policy is. It says, for this kind of data and this handler, it's okay or it's not okay for that handler to use that kind of data. And all the things on the left-hand side of the picture are things that you personally control. On the right-hand side of the picture, we have the handlers, which are supposed to behave according to the rules that the regulators have made. So when you provide data to a handler, you send out the data plus the metadata in the form of the NID plus the URL. The handler stores the data items, and with each data item, it stores the metadata, the NID that you've provided. When the handler wants to do something with the data, it has to find out what the policy is. So it asks the policy service, says, I need to get the policy. Here I am. I'm this handler. Here's the type of data that I'm dealing with. And here's the NID that identifies its owner. The policy service looks up in its database, and it says back to the handler, yes, it's okay for you to do this, or no, it's not okay. finally, if I want to ask a handler, what data have you got about me? I can, since I know, I can ask my policy service what handlers have my data, and then I can go to those handlers and claim it by sending my NID over and getting back the data items that that handler is holding that belong to me. An important case that you need to be able to handle is so-called onward transfer, where one data handler passes data on to another one. And it's this phenomenon that causes a lot of the uneasiness that people feel about the way that data is handled. They know that not only when I talk to Microsoft Bing to do a search, they know that Bing is keeping a log of all the search queries that I've issued, but they also realize that Bing may be passing some of that information on to advertisers who are using it to target ads to me. And perhaps I'm perfectly comfortable about Bing having this information, but I'm not so comfortable about it being handed over to various third parties. So here's the situation. You still have the policy being set. I provide the data to handler number one. Now, handler data number one passes the data on to handler two, and along with the data, the metadata has to be passed as well. So now when handler two wants to do something, it gets the policy that applies to handler two, and my policy service comes back and it says, oh, you're not Bing, you're the double-click ad broker, you're not allowed to do anything with this data. And similarly, once handler two has queried the policy service, I can find out that handler two has got some of my data, and I can find out exactly what they have and claim it back. An important consideration in this whole story is anonymity. I don't want to create a situation in which all of my data that's scattered around all over the internet is necessarily tagged with the same numeric identifier, because that will make it possible for people who are a little bit less scrupulous about playing by the rules to scan large parts of the internet and find out that all that data belongs to me. I want to be able to maintain some anonymity so that it's not. This mechanism doesn't make it possible for someone to correlate different pieces of information about me that were collected in different places. Different kinds of relationships with data handlers call for different kinds of NIDs. You can have a completely anonymous one that you make up fresh for each browsing session. You can have a known NID that is associated with your identity on a website. So when you sign on to a newspaper that you have a subscription with, or to a shopping site like Amazon or Baidu or whatever, they know about you. So presumably with respect to that particular site, you're willing to keep using the same identity. And the idea for dealing with this is that to introduce the notion that I touched on before of personas, where a persona is a way that I think about my identity on the net, and my user agent is responsible for creating an appropriate number of NIDs to represent that persona and keeping track of the fact that from my point of view as an individual, all those NIDs correspond to the same persona, even though from the point of view of the data handlers, they all look like different identities. So how do you achieve that? The agent keeps a persona map, which maps personas to NIDs. And if I want a high level of anonymity, my agent will create lots of NIDs for me. It will keep track of the fact that they all correspond to a single persona. Finally, I mentioned that it's really important to be able to know who it is that has your data, because otherwise you can't make sensible decisions about what sorts of policies you want to impose. This is a little bit tricky because you talk to lots of data handlers, and as we saw before, handlers transfer data to other data handlers. So The fundamental way this is achieved is that the policy service which you choose, in addition to storing your policy for each NID that you issue, it also keeps track of the handlers. So you can not only choose your personas and policy service and set the policy, but you can also go to your policy service and you can say, tell me who the handlers are that have my data. And having gotten that information, I get back a list of the handlers, and then I can go to each individual handler and claim my data back from them if I want to. And there we are, doing the claim. So again, all this information about who all the handlers are and what the correspondence is between me as a person and these anonymous NID identifiers that I use in the metadata, that information is all kept track of in agents that I personally control. So I can make a decision about whether I'm willing to trust those agents with this potentially very sensitive information. So that's the basic story. Data is tagged with metadata. Metadata makes it possible for data handlers to find out what my current policy is. And the whole thing is done in a way that's fundamentally anonymous. The connection to me is only established by agents that I get to choose. And there's no big central database that collects all this information together. This still leaves a number of issues, and I want to spend the rest of my time discussing some of the subtleties that might not be so obvious at first if you think about a scheme like this. The first one is that there's a fundamental tension between the idea that I should have control over who has my data and the idea that I should have privacy about my data and who it is that I've been talking to. What causes this tension is the possibility of coercion. Being able to track who's got my data is very useful, but it can be quite vulnerable. I might not want my parents or my employer or whatever to know, for example, that I've been browsing to a particular website. There are a variety of different ways in which I can be coerced. They fall into two broad categories. One of them is essentially governmental. Law enforcement or national security agencies have some ability to demand access to data that I'm keeping. So, in principle, they could get a subpoena or a warrant, some sort of formal authority, and demand to see all the records that my personal agent is keeping on my behalf. The other class of coercion is personal. Parents, spouses, employers, and so forth exercise a certain amount of authority over me, and they may be able to force me to disclose information that I would prefer not to disclose by exercising that authority. Defending against coercion is fundamentally a very difficult problem. And, of course, in some cases, there can be regulatory mechanisms. Most societies, for example, have more or less strict controls on how easy it is for governmental authorities to execute searches. Exercising that kind of control over what a personal agents can do is not so easy. It's quite difficult to limit what parents or employers can do, what sort of demands they can make on children or employees. The other generic mechanism for defending against coercion is what's often called plausible deniability, which essentially means there's true information out there, but it can be masked by false information. And so if somebody demands that I disclose some information, I can disclose the false information instead, and it will be very hard for them to know that the information they're getting is false rather than true. But this is really a very difficult problem, and one for which I don't think we know a good solution. A few words about the policy itself. It's a fundamental property of this way of thinking about things that the policy is data-centric. The policy goes with the data, not with any device or particular service that you're using. Metadata stays with the data no matter which services or devices it migrates to, and it always points to the policy that's associated with that particular data. The basic interface to policy, as we saw before, is the handler says, here I am, I'm this kind of handler, I want to access data of this type, am I allowed to do that or not? In principle, the handler could pass more information about exactly what it wants to do with the data and maybe get back a richer result. Yes, it's okay to do that, but only between midnight and 8 a.m. or whatever. How practical that is fairly debatable. What does seem quite clear is that if you want a scheme like this to work, the standard policies that people are normally using have to be extremely simple so that they can be widely deployed. There can only be a few different types of data, maybe contact information, location information, transaction information, what I bought, but maybe 7 ± 2 different types of data. One of the big problems with designing a policy system is that you can always think of convincing examples that are going to make it necessary for the policy to be more complicated. It's not enough to just think about location data. I want to treat location data from my car differently than location data from my phone, yada, yada, yada. And you can certainly imagine extending data types with some tree of subtypes, but as it gets more complicated, it gets much less likely that the policy that you install is the one that you actually intended, just because it gets more and more complicated to understand what it is that's going on. Basic policies are the ones that I described at the top of the slide. A particular handler can or cannot use a particular data type. You could also fairly easily compose policies by saying and, or, and else on sets of basic policies. So, these handlers are allowed to do these things except not this particular one, for example. The other extensibility mechanism that this architecture can accommodate is the idea that if you want to have a more complicated kind of policy, you should encode it in an application. You should treat the application itself as a handler, and then you trust the application to do the right thing about what sort of output it generates. And we saw one example of that earlier with the school wanting to know the emergency contact phone number. The application may need to access all kinds of detailed location information in order to figure out what phone number to hand out. But the only phone number that it's not going to hand out any of that location information. It's only going to hand out the phone number. Clearly, a scheme that's the goal of which is to give users personal control of their personal data. For such a scheme, the user experience is going to be extremely important. And this is an area where I think we have very little information. The kind of empirical data that we have really only applies to the current notice and consent regime, where I think there's very general agreement that the user experience has been a disastrous failure, because the way it works is that the data handlers express their terms of service in 30-page documents that are written by lawyers, and what they show you on the screen is check here to accept the terms of service, click here to read it, which no sensible person would ever do. And so people just say yes, and it accomplishes nothing. If you want to have a user experience that can actually work, it seems pretty clear that there has to be one screen that shows the policy for most people in fairly big type, because that's all most people are going to have the patience to look at. How can this possibly be achieved? I think the fundamental tool is going to be, when I choose my policy, I'm going to do it by choosing some third party that I trust, that has a reasonable policy, and saying, my policy is their policy, plus these few exceptions. And that way, most of the effort, for example, deciding who are respectable purveyors of online commerce or whatever, can be unloaded to whatever the local equivalent is of the Consumer Reports organization in the United States. And again, you need a reasonable default to protect carefree users. And we know very little about the details of how this should work. These are just very broad principles. A few details. You need a way to be able to change your policy service if the old one goes out of business, or you stop trusting the old one or whatever. And so you need a forwarding mechanism for that. There's some question about how the queries to the policy service are secured, and the obvious answer to that is to use an existing mechanism for securing communication. And we have a perfectly good one called SSL or TLS. You can just use that. As I mentioned before, an appropriate way to control complex uses of data is through applications. You treat the application itself as a handler. You make some decision about how the application is going to be trusted, and then the application controls the way in which its users can get access to some subset of the data. If there are going to be personas so that I can express myself to the digital world in different ways at different times, it's going to be a difficult user interface challenge to make it clear what persona is being used at any given time, and make it relatively unlikely that I'll use the wrong persona. It's not entirely clear how to go about doing that. The current state of affairs is that many systems allow you to have multiple accounts that you could log into, and that seems like an obvious way to express your persona. But in most systems today, switching from one account to another is a very clumsy process. So that's something that's going to need a lot of work. A few refinements that are also worth touching on. I mentioned the metadata stays with the data unless the data is sufficiently aggregated. And this is extremely important because for many purposes that touch on research or on the public good, like traffic management or medical research, it's very important to be able to do data aggregation. And data aggregation is going to be done by applications, and you need to have some way of certifying that the app can be trusted to do enough aggregation that its outputs no longer need to be tagged with the metadata of all the data that was fed in at the beginning. As I mentioned before, an obvious motivation for different personas is to have separate enterprise and personal personas. And the employer may well want to say that they want to manage the enterprise persona. That shouldn't give them any control over the personal persona. There are complicated questions about how joint rights should be handled. For example, when someone takes a picture, the photographer has some rights to the picture, but if there are people depicted in the picture, they may have rights to it as well. Finally, it's nice to be able, in many applications, it's nice to be able to track the provenance of data. Where did it come from? And what third-party handlers has it passed through, and so forth? And there's a pretty straightforward extension of this basic scheme that will allow you to do that. So to sum all this up, I think it's clear that more regulation is coming because people do want personal control of their data. How can we get practical personal control? You should be empowered to control the way your data is used. You should be able to find it, limit its use, claim it back everywhere, anytime, consistently, and anonymously. The way to achieve that is to attach metadata to the data that allows the data handlers to link to the policy. you can use personas to provide you appropriate anonymity. And it is technically possible to do all this without introducing any new dangerous central databases. And with that, I'm out of time, and thank you very much for your attention.